The question today is, what should I do when I'm disheartened at the thought of being a failure? Well, I tell you, most of us have had to deal with that from time to time, and that could apply, being a failure could apply in many areas of your life, or in any area, as far as that's concerned. It could be about a career or job, ministry, missionary, pastor, and so forth. It could be marriage, whether husband or wife. It could be child rearing, discipline your children, financial decisions, or in any other area the Holy Ghost may bring to your mind. In essence, what should I do when I'm disheartened at the thought of being a failure? What should I do? Well, I think the best way we could find out is look at what someone did in the Bible. When they basically was a failure, what did they do? And I'm talking about Paul. Find out by looking at his early life. He grew up in the Jews' religion. He stated himself that he was ingrained, in other words, that he was now ingrained in that religion, because he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 4 through 6, he said, "Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, in Hebrew of the Hebrew, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." In other words, he was blameless in his eyes according to the standard he grew up with. Later he told the Sanhedrin court in Acts 23, verse number 1, "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." He said he'd acted in good conscience before God, not just in these affairs which he is now being accused of, but throughout his entire life. Now, how in the world could Paul say that? How could he say that? He could say it by the way he was brought up, how he was taught, what he was around every day of his life. Therefore, his conscience had been programmed, and he was thought he was right in what he was doing. Did you know a computer can only compute what it's been programmed to do? And Paul had been programmed all of his life that this is a way to live, and that this is what he did, he used to do, and he did it. Even having Christians killed, put in jail, persecuted, made havoc of the church. Now, we know that's wrong, but Paul's conscience didn't convict him because he was programmed that way. He may have been groomed, possibly, to be the next high priest. I don't know that. Don't have any scripture for that, but I'm saying he was maybe groomed for that. But he met Jesus and counted the cost and was saved. And the one who persecuted the saints now is the one who is being persecuted. After three missionary journeys in bonds and Roman prison for the cause of Christ, he writes the saints in Philippi these words in verse 13, the first part, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." In other words, in essence, he said, "I've not yet arrived." If you'd asked him that several years before, he thought, before he met Jesus, no doubt he would have told you, "I have arrived, but not now. If we could read between the lines, we'd find Paul having regrets at some of his past experiences. No doubt he would say, "If I could live that over again, I would do different. I'm a failure," and it's what basically he could say. No doubt fiery darts shot at him time and again to magnify his failures. And every one of us has had this happen to us in some capacity to dishearten us. But what do we need to do? Well, what do we need to do? And the question is, what shall I do when I'm disheartened at the thought of being a failure? Do what Paul did. What did he do? Verse 13 of Philippians, the second part, he said, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." See, what Paul did, he forgot those things that's behind, those things he depended upon to find favor with God, and the sins of his past. Forgetting means no longer caring for. This word doesn't imply obliterating something from the mind, but refers to the constant necessity of pushing something out of the mind. It means not to let those things of the past influence or affect you to make a wrong decision. This can only be done by the aid of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, Paul said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheth me." No doubt the fiery darts came to him over and over again. I think there were the thorns of the flesh that he talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, where the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient." He didn't let those things influence or affect him. But that took some willpower on his part as well. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. That means disqualified for reward. It's not talking about being lost after being saved. It took some willpower on his part. He had to buffet his body. In other words, therefore, he said, I forget those things into the back. But the second thing in verse 13, reaching forth to those things which are before me. Those things speaks of the goal, the finish line, using a figure of a runner, reaching forth to that finish line. Reaching forth means to stretch forth after. The tense is habitual action. It's something he had to do every day of his life. And it involves what he said in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word press means pursue. It carries the idea of intense endeavor. The mark is the object set up in the distance. And of course, for the forerunner, for a runner, that was a garland to put around his neck. In other words, could see the prize, in other words. But for a Christian, it's a crown that is incorruptible in heaven. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25, he said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now if they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible, see? And that's what Paul did. In other words, in verse number 11, he says in chapter 4, he says this in verse number 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. In other words, he was content with that. And in his last epistle, he written to Timothy, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. In other words, what should I do when I'm disheartened at the thought of being a failure? Do what Paul did. In other words, there's some negatives and some positives here. And let's break it down even further for us than what we did for Paul. Get honest about your failure. Don't deny your failure. Don't try to pass the buck off and say it's somebody else's fault, even though your upbringing affects you just like Paul's did his. Don't live in denial. I've heard one time a man was driving a tractor, and he was around it was dangerous. People was around. He was loading some stuff with a loader, and he was on drugs. And someone else said he was on drugs, and I said, what does his daddy say about it? He said his daddy probably denies it. He's in denial about his drugs. Well, don't live in denial. Take the blame where it lies and see. Get honest with your failure. Don't deny it. Forget those past failures. Forget them in the sense that you don't let them keep you from going on with God. In other words, that's what the word forgetting those things, I don't let them influence me. You can't blot them out of your mind like God can blot things out of his mind. But don't let them influence you or persuade you, see. And don't let them keep you from going on with God. Don't let them influence and affect you for wrong. There's an old saying, don't cry over spilt milk. You've heard that. Don't worry about the water already come under the bridge. You got water coming ahead you need to deal with. Burn your bridges behind you. Those are sayings that we've heard, old sayings. But you need to learn from your failures. When at first you don't succeed, try again. And then you need to press toward the goal. The goal, what's the goal? Well, if you're lost, the goal is salvation. I understand that. And you say, well, I've asked and nothing's happened. Keep on asking. Ask. The Bible says about prayer, he says, knock and it shall be open. And in other words, and seek and it shall be found. And ask and you shall receive. And those verses or those words are keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on asking. In other words, keep on. Don't get sidetracked at the thought of being a failure. Don't get disheartened at the thought of being a failure. Press toward the goal. Now, for the saint of God, there's a goal of sanctification in your life, and there's the goal out there. That's Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We've got a goal, and that's to be completely with our Lord one day, that he talked about 1 Corinthians 15, about how that this corruptible must put on incorruption. We'll put on incorruption when the Lord comes back. So there's a goal, like Abraham had a goal. He looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Took him 41 years to get to the point of salvation, but he kept on going. He kept on pressing toward that goal. In sanctification, as far as the saint of God, the sanctification means the walk of progression toward perfection that will be gained at the first resurrection. In other words, you need to take a long look before you make a decision. A lot of people make a decision based on the now time, just what's now. What you need to do is the decisions, you need to take a long look and base your decisions on that. Many don't do that, but they should. The rich young ruler said, "What must I do to be saved?" Jesus said, "Sell that you've got and give to the poor." He put his finger on his God, and he had another God before him, and he wasn't willing to give it up. Wasn't willing to have another Lord, if you please, another God. And so as a result, he turned and walked away and died and went to hell. He didn't take the long look. You see, riches are just for a moment. They fly away. And things that many people reject the truth of God's word for are just going to be gone in a moment. What is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And so you see, we need to take the long look. What's the long look? Well, the long look's a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And that goal of walk of progression toward perfection, let it be gained at the first resurrection. That's what we need to look for. And then you realize the disciples in John chapter 6, that Jesus said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink of my blood, you'll have no life in you," meaning wholehearted reception of Jesus as Lord. But they didn't take the long look. They turned and walked no more with him, died and went to hell. The three Hebrew boys took the long look. He said, "O king, we're not going to bow to that image. You may burn us, but we're not going to bow." In other words, He could deliver us from the fiery furnace, but if not, we'll be out of your hands. We won't have to obey you anymore. They took the long look, you see. A lot of times people get a job offer in some other state where they leave the church and take the children out of church and go to another state. "Well, I got to go with my job because I got to take the long look. If you hadn't got a church to go to, you need to stay put. Take less money because you need truth." I'm talking about if you got truth, hadn't got truth, find a church, got truth, you see. Be content with your lot in life. I tell you what, the Lord's in control. The Bible says in book of Luke chapter 14, verse 27, he that cometh to me, unless he's willing to bear his cross, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, means you'll never be saved if you're not willing to bear your cross. And what is your cross? It's your lot in life. And you realize the older you get, the more feeble you get. And you're going to feel worse. And you're going to have to realize that's your lot in life. Just to accept it. Don't blame God for what's going on in your life. Listen, do what Paul did. I'm talking about the question, what should I do when I'm disheartened at the thought of being a failure? We've all been there or will be there. And what I do, I tell you, do what Paul did. Paul said, "I've not arrived yet, but I'm not going to let my past failures influence me or affect me. And I believe I'll just go on with the Lord." You know, that's what we need to do, is just say, "By the grace of God, I believe, I'll just go with the Lord." And that's what we need to do when I'm disheartened at the thought of being a failure. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the hour in there. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.